Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. We read these words, beginning at verse 18, from the infallible and the inerrant Word of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Spirit of God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives. Congregation of Jesus Christ, it should not come as a surprise to you that the truth of this account of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ has been a subject of controversy and criticism since it occurred. You know that Satan himself attempted to have the Lord Jesus murdered. You know that there was very little that could be done to make people believe that he was in fact the Son of God. During his earthly ministry, he was mocked, he was derided, and ultimately crucified. The church, however, has continued to believe what we confess in the Apostles' Creed. Born of the Virgin Mary. We confess that truth, and it has been that confession that the church has held to for centuries, 2,000 years since that birth occurred. But that birth and belief in that birth has consistently, it seems, eroded in the church through the years. One of the periods of history, although we could go back further, one of the periods of history in which we see a great erosion of belief in the birth of the Savior occurred in the liberal church 100 years ago, which had its moorings and had its beginnings of unbelief in the German liberalism and skepticism and subjectivism and all the other isms that you can throw in there of the 17th century. In fact, many of the church leaders and writers went to Germany in the 18th century and studied under such unbelieving teachers and scholars as F.C. Bauer and so many other names that could be named. What came of that study in German theology was disbelief, denial that this could happen. It's just a myth in which we use like a story to tell a story to help the moral to get across. And the church began to believe that atmospheric poisonous truth, and it began to settle into the church to the point where even today we have critics of the virgin birth, and we have those who, like Charles Stanley's son, who is a noted speaker today, casts doubt on the virgin birth as he speaks through his ministry. The sad thing is that there are those who not only listen, but believe it. And even further, sadly so, is the fact that there are few that will oppose such unbelief and such teaching. This is not a new thing to deny the virgin birth. And I want you to think about that as today we celebrate the Lord's birth, because we seem to be so casual about it. We will sing in our families, in services, and in so many places, or see it on the televisions, people singing Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child. And all that that does is it gives people a nice feeling inside. It's Christmas. And after all, it could hardly be Christmas if we didn't sing those songs. And we have a good feeling about it, but do we pause? Do we think? Do we contemplate what that virgin birth means? And that's what Matthew's gospel tells us. And that's what Matthew's gospel is all about, telling us about this virgin-born Son of God, the Savior of sinners. It's important not only to sing it, but it's important to understand who this Son of Mary was. The Son of Mary is the Son of God, and that's Matthew's message. He begins by saying, this is how that birth came about. It took place in this way. His mother was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together as husband and wife, she was found to be pregnant with child through the Holy Spirit. The point that Matthew makes here in this passage is that Jesus was conceived not by Joseph, but by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who came upon Mary. In fact, the angel tells Joseph that in this dream, because he, thinking that Mary had somehow possibly been unfaithful to him and had become pregnant, planned to divorce her quietly. He was a kind man, and he wanted to do that quietly. But God had other plans and sent his angel and said, no, what is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. Now that's almost unbelievable unless you are understanding that it's a fulfillment of Scripture and Matthew brings us to that point. He says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. The prophet Isaiah, here in verse 23, he quotes Isaiah 7, predicted this 8 centuries before Christ was born. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now that's biologically impossible. But all things are possible with God. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. In other words, the angel says this is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is what God, the Holy Spirit, has done. She is pregnant with this son. And although he was disturbed by it, and who wouldn't be if you were in Joseph's shoes, he was the recipient of the angelic explanation that this was God's plan. And God was fulfilling his purpose, and Mary had been faithful. But God created in her this child for the fulfillment of his great purpose to redeem his people. And this important comment takes place in and throughout these passages in the early part of this gospel. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Now that little phrase may seem innocuous or not something that just leaps off the page as it should and grabs your attention, but I want you to think about it for a moment with me. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. By saying that, Matthew is underscoring the importance of the Word of God. The Word that God spoke through the prophet is fulfilled. The word of the virgin conceiving and bearing a son that came 7 or 8 centuries before is not a word that fell into the dustbins of literature and history. But it was a word that God gave 8 centuries before the birth of his son so that the people of God might have hope. And God is faithful to his word. He's faithful and he will do what he said. That's what Abraham could count on when he was almost 100 years old and his body was, as Isaiah says, as dry as a riverbed is dry. In other words, he couldn't possibly biologically produce a child, and his wife was in the same condition. But God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son through your wife, Sarah. And Abraham knew that that would come true. And every word that God says comes true. He will do what he says. All this took place to fulfill what the